Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. You might be listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Podcast. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Nate Noling and Sammy Reed. And this is this particular combination of shows, I think, is people's second or third favorite. It's when Sammy and I get thrown overboard, but Nate won, and Nate gets to lecture us from on high about how his team was right and our team was wrong, and we so clearly and obviously missed the right plays, and we're just such dumb sick fish
mentally
for not
weak.
Getting there.
Mentally
yeah,
weak.
Mentally weak.
And he's gonna be right too, because I was mentally weak. So let's,
mentally
let's
weak.
Go.
I think I had this team on Thursday. I mean, guys, the team was there all week. The team was there for you. The build
I mean
was
the
there.
Thing is that you just thought a little bit harder about, I mean, really, it came down to Devontae Parker, honestly. Like, he was kind of the decision point of the slate. But we can get into all of that. So this is by the way, this was like the lowest scoring week ever. Like,
yeah,
145 was like taking down GPPs. I like, yeah, Kyler didn't get the 300-yard bonus. Russ was terrible. Lockett was terrible. Metcalf was terrible. Josh Allen. What did Josh Allen end up getting? Like, probably like 25, I would guess. Goff was pop. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, that's but certainly it was not the 40s and stuff that we were getting last.
Right. Week. He had the yeah. touchdown reception early.
Yeah. Josh Allen and PPR. So Nate scored 131.1. That was good for just an absolute slam dunk. I mean, did you even lose a single head to head, Nate?
I don't think so. Wait, no, yeah. I did lose one. Some guy faded Aaron Jones on me.
There you go. Yeah.
Wait, Nate. Did the one guy who was giving us invites on Twitter, did he run his Bucks onslaught against you?
No, I got a couple invites from some listeners, which I appreciate. And feel free to send more if you guys would like. I'd love to play some soft action again. But only one of them got me, so.
Oh, dude!
Man,
one of the guys sent me a $50. He sent me a $50 head to head and played Brady, Gronk, Evans, and Godwin, and just like destroyed my soul.
Yeah, well, I lost to someone who sent me a game who played Derek Carr because they played Alvin Kamara over Aaron Jones.
I mean, that was actually sharp, though, is the thing.
Yeah, so I scored 112.5. My team was very common. My team was, I think, the biggest train I would get. I guess I didn't – I'll go look, but I guess that my team was very popular. And then, Sammy, you played a 2v2 versus my very popular team, and you scored 109.7. And honestly, though, this is the type of slate it was. I still didn't lose 100% of my games. I had out you know, like I got about 30% back. I didn't cash any head to heads, or I didn't cash any double ups, but I won one of my bigger games and I did like decently, and you know, so
yeah,
not a 0%.
It wasn't pretty, which is like crazy that it wasn't like a 100% loss.
Yeah, you know, I feel like last year when the back to back Kirk and Fuller weeks, like those were like, I mean, there was a Fuller month week, last year where I didn't get any money back. Like I was playing so bad.
The Fuller week by far was the worst. I think we all got swept by 40 points.
Yeah, that was probably the best go cast ever because we all hated the guy who scored like 50 points.
No, dude, the best go cast ever was the Mark Andrews week where I was just losing my mind because Mark Andrews dropped those touchdowns. Like I just like couldn't hold it because I think that was like probably like my fourth losing week in a row or something. Last year it was brutal on the bankroll. Much different season this year. But let's get into it. No one cares about Mark Andrews dropping touchdowns. They're probably watching Mark Andrews drop touchdowns right now as Sunday Night Football gets ready to start. So we all played Kyler Murray. I didn't consider another quarterback all week. He was the guy I put in my shell. Kyler Murray is scoring more fantasy points per game this year than Lamar Jackson did last year. Like he's the best quarterback, and he should be priced. Like, I mean, Lamar last year was getting to be like what, 8,500, 8,600, and on this slate, like it kind of was one of those things where it was like you were playing Kyler, you were playing Josh Allen, you were playing Russell Wilson. And I mean, Nate, you posted a Drew Lock team, but never in a million years was I playing Drew Lock.
Well, I mean, I do think like we are getting to the point where Kyler's price is going to put him at like he needs to have this game just to reach a level that doesn't
value
hurt you. Yeah, like if he gets much above eight, I think it's easy to not play him. Like, I just think quarterback scoring, it's just not optimal to allocate more than 8K to a quarterback. This week it worked because we had the value running backs. But, I mean, if you take Mike Davis and Duke off the slate, like, I think we probably should have looked more at, like,
well, yeah,
which honestly we probably should have done in the first place. but I agree. I mean, that was the thing about last week, why you played Lock last week, right, Nate? You and me did. You know, it was one of those things where last week there wasn't as much available value. This week there was so much value, it was almost like, what value am I going to fade, if any?
Yeah, you would have been bad. You would have been, and also, by the way, had Kelsey been on this slate, and if we had been, you know, here dicking around at tight end, it would have been really bad to have not played Kelsey.
Or Kittle.
Well, Kittle is hurt, so.
That's what I'm saying. If Kittle would have been, like, healthy on this slate.
Yeah, he would have been really popular.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it was as clear-cut Kyler. I thought Allen was in play as well. Like, for $500 less or whatever Allen was, even though Allen doesn't have as much rushing upside, if you factor in the PPR points, Allen's a much better, like, as good of a play as Kyler.
Yeah, when you factor in that he gets, you know, he projects for like a reception. Yeah, I think you just got to get the
air yards
there
on that. I mean, yeah, you just got to give him. You got to give him the edge. But seriously, I do think at 7,500, Allen was totally like as fine of a play as Kyler was. I don't think it was like Kyler or fail. It was.
I mean, I bet Sammy will agree with me on this. Actually, Allen's floor is so much lower because he does dumb shit and can account for no touchdowns, because his range of outcomes is much wider because he's worse.
That is correct. Yeah,
Sammy would have my back.
What you're saying, Davis, is exactly right. Like, sometimes you have the historic season. Last year it was Lamar Jackson and you just rode it, and the price got higher and you just didn't give it. You didn't give a shit. You're just like, yeah, I'll pay it because he's just going to smash every single week. And no projection system can properly account for the magic that is sprinkled over his ass. And that's what happened with Kyler Murray. Dude, he ran in two touchdowns and then he threw a miracle Hail Mary at the end to just like put the stamp on it. And by the way, like I got wrecked in cash, but like that one play was worth so much money to me in GPP. Like, I'm not
it turned me from having to, you know, like loan my dogs out as like starting a business of like, you know, trying to just have people pay to spend time with them to like, it was going to be okay. Like, I can survive.
Davis was going to have to dog walk for a week.
Yeah. I was going to have to apply to be a dog walker if DeAndre Hopkins didn't catch that touchdown.
It was incredible. But I mean, Kyler magic, like forget the projection systems, Nate. It's more of an art, and he's got it this year.
Well, Kyler was projected for way more points than Josh Allen.
I know. I'm not saying that. Yeah, Kyler, but I'm just saying if Price, I don't think Allen was as bad of a play as you guys are making it seem. You guys are making it seem like it was, I don't think
it was bad, but also the way that the salary cap worked, like the only $500 spot where 500 was the actual number you needed was at defense.
What we actually could have done is just paid for an alpha wide receiver like Deontay Johnson instead of what we did.
Yeah, that's true. Idea, oh, honestly. Man. I'm having to send you guys this PayPal is gonna be brutal.
Yeah. Oh yeah, let's talk about the side bet.
Let's talk about the side bet where you freaking it and faded the best wide receiver play of the slate.
Well, I had Metcalf projected for more points, so I bet you guys the Metcalf would score more points than Diggs. I'm just not here for the wide receiver cornerback matchup true thing. It's like my least favorite thing that people do, because the number one reason why I think it's stupid is like, just ask a guy on Twitter being like, oh, you got to fade, you know, wide receiver X in this spot against this cornerback. It's like, ask them like, what does this cornerback do well? Like, what is an example of like why this guy is so good at coverage? Like, and he would just be like, well, I don't know. It's PFF says he's got a good grade. So it's just like my whole thing right now is I'm very into rebuking wide receiver cornerback matchups.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. But when you fade a guy who has like a 30% target share for a guy who's got an average of 22%, but also like the variance of like nobody we've ever seen, you're just being a fish. And like, that was one of the easiest bets you've ever made me. Like, that was.
Yeah, I was literally, Davis literally texted us. I'm like driving in my car for work, and he texts us like, dude, I'll bet you guys each like $100 that DK outscores Stephon Diggs. And I like didn't even pull over. I'm like in the middle of traffic, and I'm like, oh, snap accept, quick. I was willing to get in a car crash to make that bet. And lo and behold, it was worth it.
And Russ sucks.
Yeah, dude.
It's tough, dude.
It was a real tough scene.
Yeah, this is hard to watch.
Like that, I mean, he was really bad today. Like, he was getting sacked all over the place, and then that pick he threw where he had, like, all that room to run, but then he saw his guy, like, get open deep down the left sideline, so he, like, hucked it across the field instead of running, and it just floated up there and got picked. Like, dude, what you doing? What you doing, Russ? This isn't the Super Bowl. Like, you just got to just take your yards. I mean, they should have won that game.
It's so bad, dude.
He was throwing the ball to. I mean, literally, this is insane. Like, Freddie Swain, Greg Olson, DJ Dallas, and Travis Homer accounted for, like, 15 targets in this game.
Yeah. Can we go back to the bet, Nate? Talk a little bit about why Diggs was, like, such a better, like, play than Metcalf. Because it's not just the variability, right? I mean, Diggs is, like, an absolute target and whopper monster this season.
Yeah, Diggs is very clearly the guy in Buffalo, and there's never going to be a game where like you're not going to see him as the alpha. And I think that even though John Brown is there, Diggs has like roughly the same air yard share that Metcalf has, but he also has a target share that's significantly higher because he also can run these routes that are close to the line of scrimmage and still get those targets. So like Buffalo's going to find a way to scheme and get him the ball. Like DK isn't the number one all the time. We don't know who is going to be the number one. It's going to be a game plan based thing. It's going to be based on so many.
Well, DK, DK
when they have
is,
a great cornerback, you know, out on the edge, like Jalen Ramsey covering.
So,
DK Metcalf.
So this is actually my take is I think that Russ is like playing scared. Like I literally think it's like in his head, like, I can't throw, because it's not like they kept showing these routes that DK was running against Ramsey, and it's not like it was in a position where Metcalf couldn't do things, right? Jalen Ramsey's like 5'10", dude. Like, Metcalf, you know what I mean? Like, Metcalf can just put that dude through the spin cycle if he wants to. But, I mean, Russ is just not playing well right now. And I'm wondering, it's on Thursday night, so we're not going to have to deal with it for the main slate. But I'm wondering, like, for example, if the Seahawks lose to the Cardinals and Russ looks terrible again, like, I wonder if that stuff starts to creep into their betting lines and they start having team totals of, like, 24 instead of 28. So because the projection systems aren't jamming them.
With Seattle, I mean, most projection systems have pretty insane efficiency numbers for Seattle baked in that people don't even realize until you rip apart the projection and look at, like, the touchdown percentage that you have for Russ Wilson, or look at the touchdown to target percentage that you have for a guy like Lockett, and you kind of start to realize these projections are much more fragile than you realize. Where someone like a Diggs, his projection is so much less touchdown dependent that, like, Diggs is just, when you consider range of outcomes, Diggs was just he was the best play of the slate. Diggs was
okay.
Like,
so Davis, tell us why it was not mentally weak. Explain why it was not mentally weak of you to bet both me and Nate Asino that DK would outscore Diggs, but then you played Diggs in cash and not Metcalf.
So, I mean, we talk about this on the show all the time. If you think your opponents are going to be doing something that often, and you're like, it's different between, you know, thousands of dollars of action of being like, I'm going to stake basically my whole slate on getting Metcalf versus Diggs, right? Because I felt confident that my numbers on Metcalf were right. And I felt Metcalf was our second highest projected wide receiver of the slate, and Diggs was the third. So it's not like I thought Diggs was some terrible play. And other projection sites had Diggs higher. So if you just bake it a little bit of the wisdom in the crowd, so like, one, you should never be that confident in your own stuff, right? Because there's obviously a possibility you're going to be making mistakes. And yeah, I just don't want to take that stand in all my games. I actually thought about swapping off of Diggs after the first half, and, you know, after because the early games were so brutal, right? Like, you had Evan Engram, I had Dallas Goedert at tight end. Nate only had the three terrible wide receivers, or the three terrible running backs. But basically, I kind of just concluded, I don't think, and it was true that I wasn't that far behind. If Devontae Parker could have grinded out what Terry McLaurin did,
you mean if Devontae Parker's touchdown had stood and then it didn't get overturned and then the touchdown went to Jakeem Grant?
Yeah,
you mean correct. That? Oh, my God, yeah. Dude. That is just such insane tilt. I'm pulling my hair out right now just thinking about it. Oh,
yeah. That was some variance. But I really do think, like, DK is not a cash play at this price.
That is mentally weak to say. I knew we would get to this point of the show.
Davis.
It's insanely mentally weak to be like, I think that because this guy has a wide range of outcomes, you can't play this guy in cash. Now, Diggs, I think probably because of what you're saying, he is probably a better cash play in this specific slate than Metcalf, which is why I played Diggs instead of Metcalf, but I was still willing to bet the projection for sure. And I don't feel bad about that.
I actually think that someone like Devontae at this price tag too is getting to the point where his projection is built so much on touchdown efficiency as well, that we're going to see, I think Devontae is one of those guys that we need to start looking at from a cash perspective. When you look at a touchdown, when you look at a projection and 20% plus of the projection is stabilized by touchdowns, which is the most variance part of that projection. Like, it's not just looking at total range of outcomes. It's also looking at, like, where is the range of outcomes? Like, targets are one of the most consistent projection things that you're going to have. Then you get into receptions and catch rate and average depth of the target, touchdown. Like, touchdowns are going to be the most variance. And so when there's 20% of his projection has to be the touchdowns, that projection is just inherently more volatile. And I think guys like DK, guys like Lockett, guys like Devontae versus you know, a Diggs, a Keenan, a Terry McLaurin. Those are guys whose projections are just, they're much more stable. They're just volume-based versus efficiency-based.
Hey, Davis, did you consider, I did this with, I forget who, like last week or the week before. Did you consider putting DK in all your head-to-heads? Having a DK lineup in all your head-to-heads and then Diggs
in the 50s? So here's the thing. That requires a lot of work. Like, that takes a lot of time. And what? I was waffling. No, I mean, I was – no, it takes like 5 minutes. But I was just really waffling on if I wanted to swap at all. Because I thought – I mean, I thought enough of my head-to-head opponents would make a mistake and not play Kyler. I thought enough of them would make a mistake and not play Lockett. I thought enough of them would make a mistake and not play Devontae Parker. So I really, and
you're saying it would be mistakes to fade Parker and Lockett, eh?
Well, you know, you go in with the information you have, bud. Okay, well, I guess we haven't even talked about running backs yet. Did either of you at any point consider not playing any of Duke Johnson, Mike Davis, or Aaron Jones?
I did, and I feel really bad that I did not stick to my guns. At the beginning of the week, I had like Jakeem, I had all the value with Jakeem Grant, and that made me play Kamara and Devontae Adams. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then as the week went on, I kind of tinkered off of it. And if I had just kept the first lineup that I thought of, it would have been lit. I mean, Aaron Jones is literally like sharing time with another running back with Jamal Williams.
No, like, he's literally sharing time with two other running backs because Tyler Irvin plays like 30% of the snaps too.
Dude, we paid $7,100 for a backup running back. Like, what were we doing instead of Alvin Kamara at home in the dome?
I gotta be 100 here. I actually think Aaron Jones was fine. The mistake was not Aaron Jones. The mistake was Duke. Duke and this freaking windstorm that they were playing in there. Okay, that goes two ways. He did get literally every running back touch, I believe. I mean, did he come off the field at all?
He might not have shaken up a little bit, but like he got every touch. Yeah,
I don't think
Procise got a reception.
Sammy, okay. I don't think Jones is as bad as you're saying, because yes, while it's true from a rushing attempt share, he's like a 50% rushing attempt share guy. His target share is like significantly higher than most would assume at that price.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
I mean, even though Kamara's efficiency is off the charts, like Jones has a higher rushing attempt share than Kamara does. And like in this game, like a slightly less target share projection, because with Michael Thomas back, that really does change Kamara's target share projection. So
yeah, because Michael Thomas is now soaking up two targets a game.
I was saying the projection, obviously.
No, I know.
Man, like, we need. I wish we had Cardi on the show right now to like talk about Michael Thomas for like 5 minutes, because it's a really difficult branding decision for him to go away from Michael Thomas. I guess he's found his new guy with McLaurin. Yeah,
he already did it, and I think it would be great to have Cardi on to deliver the eulogy for Michael Thomas. That'd be great. It'd be only fitting. I think Kamara is probably the best cash game running back in the game right now, because his target floor is just so damn high.
That is 100% true. Yeah.
And he's just, I mean, he doesn't like tank out. Like, I mean, I know Aaron Jones did fine, but like 14.5 points at 7.1, like that's not it. And I know Kamara got a bunch of touchdowns, but like, dude,
yeah,
also
but okay.
This is kind
of easy to do the autopsy here. I mean, Aaron Jones, like he could have scored pretty easily, and then he gets 21 and then he's fine and you're not tilting it at all.
Well, I am tilting it because I thought Kamara was better and I didn't stick with it. And I mean,
Kamara's better. Kamara's also $1,100 more.
He was,
consider that Aaron Jones got more rushing attempts and similar target share, like from Kamara here. Like, this was not a bad Jones. Like, we didn't get the touchdowns. I mean, the dude got like 20% of the targets here.
Oh,
with
he's
above 50% of the rushing attempt share. Like, that's exactly what you want out of a 7K running back. Like, I mean, literally a couple weeks ago, we had people playing Derrick freaking Henry with a 0% target share, like at 7,100, because they want the 12 rushing attempts or whatever.
Yeah, it's just very tempting to take L's on slates where like none of your guys score points, but it's like I'm looking at my lineup and I'm like, I don't really like, yeah, Duke was probably thin. I could have played DeAndre Swift. I could have, like, you know, there were a couple other things you could have done once like the weather situation became apparent, but then you look at it closer and you're like, well, he got every running back touch. How many times are you going to get a guy who gets every running back touch? Like
I wasn't tilting Duke. Andy was high owned. So in that situation, when he's going to see a massive share of the touches, he's cheap and he's high owned. Like, I played almost no Duke in GPP, right? Because this is well within his range, and that's fine. Yeah. But like in cash, just theoretically.
That's always the thing you think to yourself, like, is when you're going through and you're making tournament lineups and you're like, wow, I have no one from my cash lineup in here. Like, I'm not playing Duke, I'm not playing Aaron Jones, I'm not playing Dallas Goedert, like I'm not playing any of these dudes. I have maybe I need to reevaluate.
I mean, that's the thing. So that's something that Levitan says all the time. He's like, if you're not willing to play a dude in a GPP, should you really be playing him in cash? And you know, sometimes the answer should be no, honestly. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the alpha play today would have been to play Swift over Duke.
Yeah, that was pretty alpha. I mean, we got the news that Swift was going to quote-unquote start. Did you guys put any stock into that? Did you care?
I swapped off of – and I guess it didn't really matter because Gibson had a good game, but I had – Antonio Gibson in my two lineups in the big spy and the little spy on DraftKings, and I moved them both to DeAndre Swift.
Yeah. All right. So we all played the three running backs, and, you know, it felt kind of gross, but at the end, like, it just kind of felt like, oh, everybody's doing this, it should be okay. I'm not sure that reasoning is good enough, but, yeah, it is what it is.
And we all played Diggs. We all played Lockett. Yeah, this 2v2 that Nate did, I would like for Nate to explain why he did it, because I looked at it all day and I couldn't make myself click on it, but I think it clearly was the right decision, Nate.
We also need to talk about Lockett before we like move off the wide receiver.
Yeah, cause I don't want to move off of Lockett, because Lockett was someone I did not feel good about at all. Like, I didn't want Lockett. I wanted McLaurin. I wanted Keenan. I wanted one of those other guys. I just couldn't make it work without, like, punting at tight end. And because there were literally no tight ends that I felt decent about. The one tight end before weather that I felt decent about was Hooper. But the weather in that game just took Hooper right off the table. And with Hooper off the table, none of those tight ends I felt had any, like – I just couldn't play any of them. And so Waller was the guy. And obviously Waller didn't get there, but I still think it was good process, even though Waller didn't get there. Like, it wasn't about Jakeem Grant versus Devontae Parker. It was about the tight end position for me.
Right. It just ended up becoming Jakeem Grant versus.
Well, I mean, Waller, like, if you want to look at it from like a value perspective, Waller was projected for like 4 more points than every other tight end on the whole slate.
Right.
Yeah, and there was no other – I mean, yeah, the range of outcomes for those other guys is just so low. I mean, those guys can literally just get, like, 2 targets, you know.
Yeah, I really did not like Lockett either. You guys know I've had 2 really good cash weeks in a row because I faded Lockett both weeks. And I'm just like, oh, this guy's not an alpha. But all of a sudden, his price dropped down to 65, and you know Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, he was so cheap, dude. Like 6,500. Yeah.
I know, and I just said, you know what? Like, this game's gonna score a lot of points. It's gonna be good. Like, we're straight. Like, we'll go back to Lockett. And I should have just stuck with it, man. Like, I've been off Lockett for a while. I should have just stuck with it. It was mentally weak. I suck.
Here's the thing. I would have said last week not playing Lockett would have just been mentally weak, like hand in the dirt bullshit. But this week, there was Keenan Allen, there was McLaurin. You could have gotten up to Metcalf. You could have played Michael Thomas. You could have played DeAndre Hopkins. You could have played Devontae Adams. Like, there were, I thought, you know, an infinite number of, like, I literally thought there were 15 wide receivers who you could have defensively played in cash, probably.
Yeah. I honestly didn't have the 100 or two even to get up to, like, you know, Cooper Kupp or something like that. Like, I liked Kupp, and obviously I would have rather played Keenan Allen.
I mean, playing a Jared Goff wide receiver in cash is like, I know it makes sense, but still, it's just not a good time.
So gross. So gross. And you're only playing it because of the quote-unquote matchup.
Matchup, right.
Yeah, and at some point you got to say, look, like, matchups matchup. Like, that stuff doesn't nearly matter as much as, like, the volume. And it was, like, Josh Reynolds who got all the volume for L.A. anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to do with this Lockett thing or DK moving forward.
Well,
I think, like, Lockett literally, with DK basically out of the game, Lockett still only had like a 25% target share. That's like a floor for what these other alphas get with everyone healthy, like with everyone out there getting targeted. The fact that DK got like four, I mean, DK was basically not on the field for all intents and purposes. Russ wasn't even looking his way.
Lockett and almost sucked out, bro. I don't know if he did. Oh my God.
I was like, watching that, hoping for it.
Yeah, if 31 doesn't leap and tip that ball away, that's going to be a magical Russ to Lockett connection, and it's going to be lit.
So this is my
rides in efficiency the rest of the year. He just is.
Well, this is my bit on Russ. Is the Seahawks coming into this game were still the most pass-heavy team relative to expectation in the NFL. So relative to what you would expect, you know, league average to be, they were throwing it on second and long all the time. They were throwing it on first down. Like, in all these situations where other teams run, they were throwing the ball. Russell Wilson, yes, Nate, it is true that a lot of Lockett's projection and Metcalf's projection is reliant on efficiency and on touchdowns. Like, Russell Wilson now has a decade sample of being Peyton Manning level efficient, right? Like, there's not an argument that, like, Russell Wilson is going to regress to being Drew Lock, right? Like, we will still project him for a higher than league average touchdown rate, a lower than average interception rate. Like, the Seahawks will convert on third down more often. Now, I can say all of that in a macro sense, and then I can look at this game and look at the last game and be like, something is wrong. Like, something is rotten in Denmark with the Seahawks, bro. Like, what is the deal? They back-to-back weeks, they turn the – like, he has 10 turnovers the last three games. Like, he is playing so bad. I don't have an explanation for it.
He wanted to get that first MVP vote. He wanted to get it so bad.
He wants it so bad.
Ben Roethlisberger is going to start getting votes over him, and it's just going to tilt his face off.
Oh, well, no. Kyler and Mahomes are going to get all the MVP votes. I'm sorry, Sammy. Ben's not getting an MVP vote, buddy.
Whatever.
I thought you were joking, Sammy.
We'll take the team out.
No, he meant it. He meant it.
No. Like, no joke. If the Steelers go, like, 15-1 or 16-0, like, Ben will
get. He's not getting a vote.
MVP votes from, like, Boomer Riders. It'll happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true.
I'm not saying he'll win it. He'll just, like, get votes. Like, anyway.
Well, you know, thankfully, we are not going to have to deal with it next week because Arizona-Seattle is the Thursday night game, so we won't have to sweat Lockett.
They were contractually obligated not to, like, give us good Thursday night games. What happened?
Yeah, well, maybe it's not a good one, though. What if Seattle is back to, like, the Matt Hasselbeck Seahawks that were, like, a miserable to watch?
Ooh, fun.
Yeah. Okay, tight end. I got to say, I did make one mentally weak play, and it was Dallas Goedert, who I didn't think was a good play. He was touted everywhere. Our numbers didn't even really like him. Even after the weather adjustments, Austin Hooper, like, we moved Cleveland super run heavy. We brought the total for that game down, and Hooper still projected better. I liked Logan Thomas. I liked Jordan Reed. It was mentally weak. It was not an intelligent play of me.
So why did you do it then?
Well,
did it just because everyone else you was were like, okay, it's fine?
Well, it just fit, and literally he was being touted everywhere. Like, I thought he would be really owned.
He was.
Yeah, but it was stupid, though, because, you know, obviously, like, you know, I was on projections this week, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, dude, Jalen Reagor is an alpha. Travis Fulgham is not an alpha, but he is really good. Alshon Jeffrey's back. We got to give him some. Greg Ward is the slot guy. We got to give him some. Scott and Sanders.
Dick Rod's in there. You got to account for Dick Rod.
Well, okay. So I do think that Rich Rod ran pretty hot with Goddard having to go get the concussion check. But he still played a ton even when Goddard got back. They played more 12 personnel this week than they did back in week 8 when Goddard had first gotten back. Which, by the way, in that game, Goddard was a freaking wind sprinter. Like, he was out there the whole game and just wasn't getting targeted. That should have probably been a clue.
Maybe. I kind of used the same construction as you, Davis, but I went with a tight end that I felt a little bit better about.
Could score points.
Yeah, well, I mean, he didn't score points. I went with Evan Engram. And Engram has actually really been heavily used over, like, the last 5 weeks. His whopper is literally over 0.5, which is in the territory that we're looking at with the Darren Wallers of the world. I mean, and obviously we're just looking at a 5-game sample. I completely think that Waller's, you know, going to see more volume in general, but I actually felt really good about this. And maybe I didn't account enough for Golden Tate being back. I don't know if that affected things, but Engram ended up only getting 3 targets, which was really surprising. And then he almost scored a touchdown and didn't quite, and that tilted me. And, you know, it was just – I actually thought he was a pretty good play, but nobody played him, and he didn't score any points, so maybe I'm wrong.
I thought it was bad, but that's fine.
I think Engram was a good volume bet, Sammy. I mean, better than Goddard, that's for sure. I mean, Goddard –
I'm not trying to defend the Goddard play, but to me, I think, because these are the tight ends I played in GPP. I played Waller, I played Fant, I played Reed, and I played Thomas, and those were the only tight ends I played in single entry and 3-max stuff, and that should have probably been a hint to me if I wasn't willing to play Goddard in any other format, that doing it just because he was the chalk tight end was probably bad.
Yeah, I should just play Jordan Reed. He did good.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Reed is going to be a targets per route run like monster while he's healthy, I think, in this offense.
I mean, you could have also taken Russ Wilson's number one target and Greg Olsen.
If I was going to play a Seahawks tight end, I was going to play Jacob Hollister. which, by the way, I actually did look at that construction for a second. How much did Hollister get? Because if you played a true minimum price tight end, you could have played McLaurin over Devontae Parker.
I would have got a target.
All right, so let's talk about Devontae Parker. Let's roast this guy.
So this is why it was so dumb, and I really mean this. This is not. It's like Preston Williams wasn't even getting fucking targeted anyways.
Yeah.
So what is
cares?
It even like? What does it matter?
Who cares that he's gone?
Oh, like this was play bad, don't get there. Like, yeah, I'm bad, and I feel bad. And when I was working on the Dolphins projections, and I was like, I don't know. Like, when you don't know, because it's an odd situation where they were up, they were very run heavy when Preston Williams was out last game. It's like, this could be anybody.
No Fitzpatrick. Like, no Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, and that's another thing is they're playing very careful football, right? They're not throwing the ball down the field. They're not doing they're just a very ground heavy, like very, very basic West Coast offense style. And that's not even a good fit for Devontae Parker. This was bad. This was not intelligent.
It was egregious, bro. Egregious. I mean, I'm so disappointed.
It was bad.
We should have just played Grant. Who was fine.
Nate had the team. I never like to compliment Nate, but Nate clearly had the team, I think.
It was way sharper to play Waller and Jakeem Grant, Nate. And, you know, yeah. I mean, let me just tell you, that sequence, I know I talked about it already, but that sequence where Parker scored the touchdown, they called it off, and then went to Grant, I mean, that was big, big, big equity swing, and I wouldn't be nearly so tilted if that had not occurred, and it did. and it was just a plunger to the rectum. Very, very poor.
Yeah, and it was – I was so tilted watching Waller's – Waller had, like, a huge day here that got taken away from him. There was, like, a 50-yard TD that he had that could have, like, smashed this, like, right open, and he didn't. Yeah. But I mean, Davis, I think you hit on it. We all thought Preston Williams being out was a deal. And then you look and you're like, wait, this guy had like five targets and three. What, why are we pretending this is a deal?
Yeah, who cares? Like, I think there's some part of like our lizard brain that like, they look very similar, Parker and Williams. And so,
Yeah.
Every time like Preston Williams catches the ball, you're like, oh, Parker. And then it's not him. So when he's gone, it's like, oh, now it'll always be, Devontae Parker. And,
like,
I don't
literally
know if there's
the
like
last
some recess of the brain that thought that, but I don't know why I played Devontae Parker.
The last four weeks, Preston Williams, five targets, and then three targets the week before, and then a two. Like, it wasn't like there was this massive, like, where's all the volume going to go now? I think Devontae Parker is still a good, like, upside play because he's always got those like the air yards and the potential for touchdown conversions, but I don't think
any. Oh my god, dude, I am absolutely sick because you know who is projected for more points than Devontae Parker on dailyroto.com? DJ Moore.
Oh damn.
DJ Moore.
And Deontay Johnson and Deontay, both of them were projected for more points. And
yeah,
I
would have definitely played Deontay if I could have found the extra couple hundred bucks. Like that would have been such an alpha move.
You just would have had to play Goddard. I had the 200.
Yeah, why didn't I do that? God, I'm such a fish, bro. You know, it's
you wanted to play. You wanted to play Deontay against the Ravens, but you wouldn't play me against the Bengals.
Oh man, it's so tough, like having such a small brain and just like breathing through gills. This is just such a tough scene. What am I doing? I can't, this is unbelievable.
I feel like a lot of people are having that like, what am I doing feeling because no players scored points today. Like it's like one of the lowest scoring slates of all time because not like no chalk hit. Like what chalky player did well?
Kyler.
Kamara.
Yeah, Kyler
and Diggs are about the only two.
Yeah, Kamara wasn't
even Diggs. Talking,
but how owned was Davante Adams?
Couldn't have been that owned, but 22 points definitely played on this slate, right?
Oh, it played hard.
Yeah. Davante Adams, 9.3% owned in the massive $25 double up.
Yeah,
so
thanks, Cardi. Cardi dropped that ownership down a good deal with his, like, 10-tweet thread.
His 900-page thread.
Thank you, Derek, because I would have lost worse if more people had played Davante Adams, honestly. Why don't we just play Nuke? That would have been awesome.
Dude.
Because he was just coming off of two bad games.
No, there was a team I was looking at this week of jamming in Nuke, Diggs, and Keenan. You would have had to – it was the Hooper would have made it work. Hooper and Locke, but –
Yeah, who cares? Hooper scored the same as everybody else.
Well, I know, but going into this game, Cleveland literally, their, like, range of outcomes from a team passing attempt standpoint was, like, 27 was, like, their, like, low. And it was, like, I'm not touching
anything. Yeah, Cleveland has no interest in throwing the ball at all, like, putting any faith in Baker Mayfield if they have a lead, which is probably –
And that's why I feel – and that's part of why I think I should have thought through the Duke thing more. Realizing how gross that game was going to be, I should have thought to myself, am I really playing Duke Johnson because I want 15 rushing attempts from this guy? No, you play Duke Johnson because of what he can do in the passing game and everything else. And so it's like I don't know. Like obviously Duke still got all the volume that he could get from a rushing attempt standpoint, but like David Johnson wouldn't have been a smash at this play at this price. Like, would he have? Like, I don't think he would.
No. I mean, look, dude. I play.
No, I'll guarantee you, 5K David Johnson would have not been on anyone's radar. No one would have cared. I'll guarantee it.
We played David Johnson last week, and we played Duke Johnson this week. We need to make a pact.
I buddy, I did. I did not play David Johnson last week.
Oh, that was sharp. But we need to make a pact here and now, Nate. We will not play Houston Texans running backs in cash anymore.
Deal.
Okay. But the Texans play the awful Patriots at home next week.
Oh, boy. How much is Duke?
the salaries are not out yet. I'm assuming he will be, after this high-owned stink bomb, he will be $5,300 on DraftKings.
They're gonna drop the carrot, 4.9.
Once a guy's under 5K, it's true. It's like, dude, but he's under 5K.
Yeah.
It is. It's true.
Yeah, it's like shopping and something's $9.99 instead of $10. They're trying to get you.
Here, let's see. Let's see the week 11 schedule. By the way, week 11 already. How crazy is that?
We're almost at the Thanksgiving slate. Like the best slate of the year.
Yeah, that's easily the best donate slate of the year because you feel like whoever won at least is having a good day.
Absolutely. And the Steelers play on that slate, so it's going to be like Deontay Day on Thanksgiving against the Ravens. I'm going to play him.
Dude, the main slate next week looks kind – well, oh, my gosh, dude. But what if Drew Brees is really hurt, Nate, and we get to play Jameis? They play the Falcons at home.
Dude, okay, if Drew Brees is out and Jameis and Michael Thomas have a week to work on it, that will be in every one of my – like,
dude, we'll be able to play 100% Mike Thomas.
Yeah. Nate is about to inject horse steroids into his projection system for Jameis Winston.
Is it a dome game? Please tell me it's a dome game.
Yeah, it's in New Orleans.
Against Atlanta, bro.
Yeah.
I'm praying that we get a week of practice where it's Jameis and Michael Thomas just dialing in. I will play 100% Jameis and Michael Thomas next week.
Sammy, how are you feeling about the Jaguars matchup for your Steelers next week? Would you like for them to play a real NFL team anytime soon, or would you rather them just continue to beat up on these cupcakes?
We beat the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. I don't know if you remember that game.
Baltimore is not a real football team. They suck.
Well, they got that running back playing quarterback, but, you know, other than that.
They lost by, 65 points to the Chiefs. It was embarrassing.
Yo, let me just tell you, there is probably a 40% chance that we lose this game in Jacksonville.
100, yeah, I could not agree more.
This is the game. This is the game. It was almost the game when we did it against the Cowboys, but the Cowboys are so bad. But it could absolutely, Luton could absolutely just crush our soul, and then we lose out to the Chiefs. Yeah.
If McCaffrey is not back next week, would you guys play Mike Davis in basically the same spot at home to the Detroit Lions?
He ain't going to be 4K again.
He won't be that expensive, though. He'll be like 6,200, probably like Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, I'm cool. Well,
probably.
I don't know, man. Davis hasn't been good for quite a while. I hate to like.
Yeah, let's actually go look at this. When is the last time Mike Davis put together?
The other thing is they're starting to use Curtis Samuel as a running back.
It doesn't matter if he's projected for 25 touch opportunities here. It's just
he's not really though, because they're starting to use Curtis Samuel and some of these other running backs. They're starting to use some guy who I literally had never heard of today, Rodney Smith. Sure, yeah. Some running back I'd never heard of before.
Yeah, they gave him 3 rushes. They gave Curtis Samuel 3 rushes. They gave Mike Davis 7 rushes.
Davis got hurt.
Like Amra got 2 targets, Smith got a target. Like, I don't know. They're not really. I know that Davis got hurt for a little bit and came back, but they're not using him like Christian McCaffrey now.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about that, honestly.
Titans, Ravens. So at least we won't be tempted to use the big dog. Jets, Chargers.
Ooh, Kalen Ballage revenge.
I mean, literally, dude, Kalen Ballage was the engine of the Chargers offense. Like, they were using him, the whole game.
No,
it was disgusting.
I had multiple seasonal teams where I had to take out Jackson, and I had Ballage, and I'm like, well, shit, let's put him in, see what happens. And he got the ball a bunch. Like, Josh Kelly is dust, right? Like,
is Josh Kelly just dust? Like, they've literally – can you imagine being Josh Kelly and, Eckler goes down, you have a shot, and then all of a sudden it's Kalen Ballage season?
Oh, yeah. Dude, he's sitting at home. He's just like, the time is now. It's happening. Like this, and it's not happening at all. Like they they're not letting it happen for them. So it might be Balazs week against the Jets.
I mean, that would be incredible, right?
Yeah.
How, by the way, how are the Chargers 2-7? I feel like they're the best 2-7 team of all time.
I mean, so part of it is that they've been this for like 5 years where they've been the really good, bad team. But yeah, that is a team we should absolutely be putting money on, like in the offseason for futures for Super Bowl next year. Like them getting Bosa back, Derwin James back, and another year of development for Herbert. Maybe Eckler will be healthy next season. Like, dude, that's a team. That's a team that can actually do things. They get a bomb draft pick this year. Like, I will put futures money on them next year.
Yeah. Chargers, Broncos, or sorry, Dolphins, Broncos. Don't play Drew Lock next week. That's just a little hint for you.
That was a one-time deal. That was a one-night stand with Drew Lock last week. It worked out. We had a great time together. I will remember it fondly, but it's not going to happen again.
It will happen again. He threw Nate, 47 times today. I am going to look at Drew
Lock. How many passes did he complete? Honestly, I don't even know.
Less than 50%. He completed 23 passes to teammates and 4 to the Raiders.
By the way, I would have won if I would have just stuck with the Raiders. I played the Lions defense instead because I thought there was value in knowing if I needed to swap. So I played the Lions, right?
That might have been the dumbest thing you I played a suboptimal play.
They were projected for literally the same. Like I literally think 0.02 different in the optimizer.
I would have thought you'd want to keep the spot open for potential swaps.
I looked at the potential swaps of going from getting to the Saints and just nothing worked. Yeah, I mean the Lions we had for 7.03. And the Raiders we had for like 607. So it didn't matter.
You're a fish, bro. That was that's not a good enough reason to play the Lions.
Well, if you tell me the results, like, the Lions faced 58 pass attempts.
The range of outcomes on defense is so tight. Like I'm not gonna sweat like the projection difference of like 0.2 or 0.3 or whatever it is, but your reasoning is what makes you a fish on this.
No, dude, you got to think about all the angles. You guys just aren't thinking about the angles.
Davis is using the logic, the 2-point logic, right? You go for two early so that you know if you need to go for two later.
Literally, that is the logic.
That is
yeah.
not the
Maybe
logic.
I'm buying
You're
it a little
locking
bit, actually.
In a spot. No, Sammy, you are locking in a spot that you don't need to. A suboptimal play.
Maybe if you're a fish who doesn't look at the swaps beforehand, but I had already looked at the swaps I was potentially making, and the $500 for the defense. Like I wouldn't have to get the swaps I needed, the $500 at defense, I wouldn't have been able to use it. I would have had to have gone down to the Rams defense, which I didn't want to do because the swaps were to Russell Wilson though. So
this is the opposite of going for two, Sammy. This is like taking a field goal early as soon as you get in field goal range.
No, Nate is wrong.
Because you don't.
Nate is dead wrong?
No. Because where this falls apart a little bit, Davis, is that you have other information about, like, your other players. Like, it's not the only information you're getting. It's not binary. Yeah. I'm gonna say you're a fish, but you're not that big of a fish. It's close to fishy.
Okay. Garrett Gilbert in cash next week, Nate. How cheap would he have to be on the road at the Vikings for you to play him?
5K.
Rational. He almost beat the Steelers and he ran.
Well, here's the thing. I'm a firm believer that from a DFS standpoint, when you have those weapons, you can put up good games at 5K. Like, especially versus a Vikings defense in a dome. Like, that is not a – like, I would play him at 5K.
Yeah, I might.
With the weapons that he has, that is
– I mean, it's like, a slate. It's a slate without the Seahawks. It is a slate without
the Chiefs, the Bucks.
No Bucks.
No Rams, no Bills.
No Rams. Yeah, oh, wow. I mean, this is just – it's going to be like 127 might be good to cash the slate next week.
Oh my God. I mean, I think you just stack the Chargers defense in Ballage and you print.
Dude, Kalen Ballage and Cash is going to be a great time. Well, you know what's going to be sick is, like, Justin Jackson is going to come back and practice, but, like, the DK pricing is going to have forgotten about him, and he'll be 4,000, and then he'll come back in, and he'll start.
I think they IR'd him, bro. They IR'd him.
Did they really?
I think so, yeah.
I don't think that's true.
I mean, one of my – I was able to put him in my IR in some seasonal leagues, so.
Well
– unless
oh, wow.
Yeah.
No. Dude, bro, you're right.
Yeah.
Wow, so it is truly Ballage season.
I wasn't kidding around, bro.
Oh, it my happened. God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine playing Kalen Ballage in cash?
Big this is Ballage 20, this revenge is 20. Week.
There we go. All right, everyone. We're ending the show there. Everyone, follow us on Twitter. And if you think we're stupid, we would love to play you in head-to-head daily fantasy contests.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.